I want you to consider for a moment, if you look at this backpack, I want you to consider for a moment all of the guilt and the shame, the difficulty, the burdens that kind of weigh you down. You know, you think of something like this and baggage that just feels like it's too much to bear. And you know, things that plague your life, things that make it seem like it's impossible, that you're like, I want to move, I want to go, I want to do things, and yet I can't. I'm struggling. And sometimes, you know, we try to remove the burdens. We try to open it up and get them out. Or, you know, we might think that we can start removing things. And I decided to use, in memory of John MacArthur, I got his commentary series in here. But we might start taking things out. And we think that, okay, I'm getting rid of it. I'm lightening the load. I'm getting things better and better. And then, but we know the reality is when we do it in our own power, what ends up happening is it just all ends up back in there. It all just stays, and we think that we've got it all figured out, but in our own power, we have the same load, the same burdens. We can't, and really we're trying to get rid of it and we can't do it. That's the reality, that we can't free ourselves from those burdens. We can't free ourselves from the guilt. We can't free ourselves from the shame, because we're not able to do so. We're incapable of it. This is like the example we see in Romans chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up to Romans. But if you look at Romans 7, we see an unbeliever, an example of an unbeliever as a slave under sin. Some of the translations say a slave in sin, but really it's using this terminology, a slave under sin, that's held under sin, and that's who's being described. So for example, in chapter 7, verse 8, it says that, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh, for the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it." Now, why is that? Why is there no ability to do that? Because only in Christ can we do anything good. Right? He alone takes away our guilt and our shame and our condemnation. He alone takes this away from us. He alone enables us to do the good that we were created to do. So in and of ourselves, we look at this, we say, I cannot do, even though I know I'm created in God's image, so there's something within me that knows I've got to do the right thing, and yet I can't do it except for in Christ. He changes us for good. And so that's what we see as we get into chapter 8. We see what many people would say is the most encouraging chapter in the Bible. This entire chapter, 39 verses, there's no imperatives. There's no commands in this chapter. It's simply truth after truth after truth to encourage us that if we are in Christ, this is our reality. So in the beginning of chapter 8, there's a therefore. And that therefore, what happens here is he's saying, based on the first seven chapters, and really especially verses chapters 5 to 7, when we see this reminder of our justification, our being made right with God is only possible in Christ. And it's because of his grace. And so it's not because of anything we do, but it's because of him. And so he says there, beginning in chapter 8, verse 1, "Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in flesh like ours under sin's domain and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh," like we see in chapter 7, "but according to the Spirit. For those whose lives are according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those whose lives are in according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so." We just read that in chapter 7, verse 18. It's unable to do so. "Those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. You, however," so now he's talking to Christians, "you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." He does not belong to Jesus. "Now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you." Praise God. Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. We thank you for this encouraging passage of scripture that reminds us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, please let that be the reality for everyone here today. Let us recognize the freedom we have in Christ. Father, those who haven't yet experienced that, please open their hearts, open their minds right now to see and experience the truth of your word so that they could have that freedom, so that they could know that there's no condemnation. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. And we pray that now, in and through your spirit working in us, that we would understand the truth of your word and that we would rightly apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Romans, as we, you know, we're going to dive in and we're going to do a series this month through chapter 8. But of course, and it's been years ago now, some of you weren't here, I preached through Romans. And you know, so just a kind of a quick summary, Romans, we're reminded over and over again throughout the book of Romans that God shows no favorites in his perfect court. And therefore, Christians are to humbly accept one another without favoritism. So kind of the first 11 chapters, we see God shows no distinction, no distinction, no distinction, no favorites. And then chapters 12 through 15, we see the application to that for us as Christians. And so in exploring chapter 8, as we dive into chapter 8 this week and throughout this month, we see some rich and important theology about God's indiscriminatory love, right? His love, the effects of that love, our resulting freedom from condemnation because of God's love, not because of anything we've done, but because of his love for us in Christ. And so what does walking with Jesus look like then? We see that really clearly here in chapter 8. What does it mean for our beliefs and our actions? We sing the song, I believe, and that's the truth, right? That's what we believe. And so then how does that play itself out? We see that here in Romans 8. Followers of Jesus are transformed, and that transformation brings about freedom. And so today we're going to look about how we are freed from death. Freed from death. With no condemnation, we are freed from the curse of death. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. In other words, eternal death, spiritual death. That's the wages. That's the punishment for our sin is death. But, he says in that same verse, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so you think about that, because when he says therefore in chapter 8, verse 1, he's like, hey, you remember what I said in chapter 6, verse 23? Therefore, because of that gift of God, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this truth is explained further here in chapter 8, this truth of this gift, right? We are freed from death if we are in Christ. And so my purpose in the message today is that you will believe, that you will experience, that you will rejoice in freedom from death. Believe the truth, experience the truth, rejoice in the truth. I mean, that song that we just sang, I Believe, when we sang Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, we should be rejoicing in that truth. These are the realities for believers in Jesus. Simply believing, simply saying with a head knowledge, I recognize, I believe it. We also experience it, and we also rejoice in our freedom over death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there is no spiritual, eternal death. We praise God for that. I mean, Christians sing about this because we want to, right? We love to sing about this because we've experienced this. I was in the back, so I don't know how it had to sound up here, but I loved hearing you guys sing those songs this morning, all three of them that we sang. And I thought, man, this is what we're talking about. This is what it is to experience and to rejoice in that. And so I assume it had to sound even better up here on stage because the voices are coming at you. I'm having to hear it from behind, but I can still hear you guys singing. But if that's not you, if you didn't want to sing those songs, if you didn't just rejoice in that, then you need to ask yourself, have you experienced this yet? Yeah, maybe you say, yeah, I believe it, but have you experienced it? Have you trusted in Christ? Have you surrendered your all to him? And so I want you to consider two reasons that Christians are free from condemnation and death. Remember, condemnation leads to death. I just said it, the wages of sin is death. In other words, the condemnation for our sin is death, separation from God for all of eternity, eternal death. And that's what we all deserve because of our sin, but followers of Jesus has freedom from death. And so what we see here, really what we see in this chapter, what we just read in these first 11 verses, we see the how and the why, right? We see the how and the why. Both of these reasons answer how and why do we, in Christ, have freedom from condemnation and spiritual death. So the first thing I want you to notice, it's because we're freed from the law. We're freed from the law. The law of God is good and perfect. So let's be clear here. We're not freed from it because it was bad. The law is perfect. And so what does the law do? It condemns us as guilty sinners. The law says you can't do this perfectly as the law requires, and therefore you are condemned. The law says that we deserve and that we shall have death eternally. That's what the law says. But in Christ, we see here in the first few verses, we are freed from the law and the resulting condemnation and death that comes from the law. So if you trust in Christ Jesus, then you will believe and you will experience and you will rejoice in the freedom from death. This freedom is only possible because of Him, because of Christ. His perfect life, His sacrificial death, which we read about here, that sin offering, His sacrificial death and His resurrection from the dead, which earned our justification. Like Adam and Eve, we all sin, but Jesus fulfilled the law. He's the only one. Remember, it says He came like in flesh like us. He came like us as a fully human. He took on flesh. But yet, as we see throughout the scriptures, and we see it made clear in places like Hebrews, but yet without sin. He didn't sin. He fulfilled the law that we couldn't fulfill. And so look back at Romans 5, for example. In Romans 5, it says, and the gift, and so this is the gift of salvation that's found only in Christ Jesus. The gift is not like one man's sin, which is Adam's sin, right? The one man's sin in Genesis 3, because from one sin came judgment, resulting in condemnation. Okay, so Adam's sin opened the door for our condemnation and judgment, because we're all born in sin since then. So that one sin brought about judgment. It brought about condemnation, our deserving of death. But from many trespasses came the gift. What from our sins came the Messiah, the Savior. He came and brought the gift, resulting in what? Justification, which means just as if I never sinned. That's how we remember what that means. We are justified. We are made right. It's as if we never sinned before a holy God. We didn't earn that. We earned the condemnation, and yet we get justification. We get freedom from death because we're freed from the law. What an incredible connection we see here in chapter 5 or 16 with what we see in chapter 8. Right? Under sin, we have condemnation and death. That's what we're seeing here. That's what the law demands. We have condemnation and death under sin. In Christ, we have justification and freedom and life. So you're freed from the law that says that you're condemned by your sin. You're freed from that law. So for example, chapter 6, verse 14, he says, for sin will not rule over you because you are not under law, but under grace. And so in Christ, it's just as if you never sinned because you're not under the law. And so the law isn't over you. Christ is over you. His grace is over you. And so as sinners, we're under the law and we're condemned to death. And then we trust in Christ and now we're under Him. We're under the one who fulfilled the law, the one who made all of this right. And we're under Him and God looks at us and He doesn't see that. He doesn't see our sin. He sees the sacrifice of Christ. He sees the one who fulfilled the law and took our place. And so that's why in verse 1 of chapter 8, no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. If you have turned to Him, if you have believed, and if you've experienced lasting freedom in Christ, you're not condemned. Romans 8 is so amazing. I love how it begins here in chapter 8, verse 1. It begins with no condemnation. And then if you look to the end of the chapter, it ends with no separation. So in Romans 8, 38 and 39, he says that neither death or life or anything. He said, you start making a list. It doesn't matter what it is. You start naming it off. All of these things, none of these things, he said, will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Freedom from death. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. It doesn't matter. You name it, it doesn't matter. Life and death, no matter what, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Because we have no condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 2 again. So He's freed you from the law by the power of His Spirit. Again, not because we've figured it out, not because we've been to church enough times, not because we've been baptized, not because we've done a certain number of things. No, He is the how you have freedom from condemnation and death. He is the why you have freedom from condemnation and death. The Holy Spirit, He's the one who frees us. Right? And so verse 3 reminds us the law couldn't give you this freedom because the law simply says you're guilty. The law says you deserve condemnation. The law is perfect and good and right, but it can't remove from you what isn't perfect and good and right. The law says this is what you must do, and when you can't do it, you're under the law, which condemns you. And so no matter how hard you try, and you're trying to get that thing open, you're trying to get those burdens on, no matter how hard you try, you're still carrying all those burdens around in yourself, in and of yourself, unless you turn to the one who can make it right. Unless you turn to the one who can take those burdens for you. So look at that verse again. For what the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. The law couldn't do it. The law can't take the burdens away. The law says you have the burdens if you're not perfect. So the law can't do it. And so he said the law couldn't do it, but guess what? God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in flesh like ours under sin's domain and as a sin offering. And look at verse 4. In order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, remember what he just said. This isn't you figuring it out. This isn't you saying, oh, I got it. I figured it out. I've decided to go with the Spirit now, and so I've gotten rid of the condemnation. No, he says, because what did he just say? You didn't do it. God did it. You can't do anything to free yourself from the law. And yet, in Christ, through his Holy Spirit, changing our hearts and changing our lives, God did it. So, kids, this morning in your lesson in family groups, what did King Solomon ask for from the Lord? What did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. Very good, George. He asked for wisdom. And so why was that good? God was happy that he asked for wisdom. Why? Why was it good to ask for wisdom? Anybody? Why was it good to ask for wisdom? Nick? Yeah, so we could learn. Learn what? Yeah, learn the right thing. So for Solomon, he wanted to judge the people rightly, right? He wanted to be a good leader over the people. But we know that wisdom, so the adult lesson had the key concept. It said, wisdom from God is better than riches, right? And so I want to challenge you this morning to kind of think, tie that in with what we're talking about here. Are you seeking God for his wisdom? Are you embracing the truth of his word? The truth that we're freed from the law if we are in Christ. Because there's no greater wisdom than this gospel wisdom that we need to continually grow in. We need to continually believe in. We need to continually rejoice in. The gospel wisdom. Are you seeking that wisdom? You see, the ultimate wisdom is that of the gospel. What we're reading here in Romans 8. The perfect law of God has been fulfilled by the perfect Son of God. So that if you are in Christ, you're no longer a slave under sin. This doesn't mean that you have freedom to sin. Sometimes people read this and Paul addresses this. It doesn't mean that I'm freed now from the law, so I'm free to sin. No, it means you're free from sin. You're not a slave to sin anymore. And so no longer do you desire to do that garbage that you used to want to do before you put your faith in Christ. Now you desire what's good and what's right and what's true because you're not enslaved under that sin anymore. Now you're a slave to Christ, the perfect master who loves you and gave himself for you. And so you're free from sin. Your life is changed forever. In Christ, we are freed from the law. Secondly, I want you to notice that we are alive in the Spirit. Right? What a difference between the unbeliever and the believer. And this is because of who? Because of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who draws us to the Lord. He's the one who gives us life. Otherwise, what you can read in Romans 7, verses 13 to 25, that's your reality. Man, I know what's good. I just can't do it. I can't do anything good. Completely incapable of walking with the Lord. We say, no, please understand when I say that. Yes, the Bible talks over and over again that there is still a struggle with sin as believers, right? So don't hear me wrongly this morning and just assume that we're perfect. We can't be perfect on this side of eternity. So there's still a struggle with sin, but I don't think, even though some people will say that, I don't think that's what Romans 7, 13 to 25 is talking about. And I think that's clear when we get to chapter 8. And we'll see that here in a minute. So in Romans 7, we see they're completely incapable of walking with the Lord. They're marked by spiritual death. We see that. We see they're marked by death. But by the Spirit, in chapter 8, we're alive. There's no condemnation. We're walking according to the Spirit. We're marked by life. Not marked by death, but marked by life. And so look at verse 5 again. Verse 5 is not talking about two sides of the same person. It's talking about two different people here. And so we have the unbeliever whose life is according to the flesh. Remember what we saw in chapter 7 and even a little bit here in chapter 8? According to the flesh, meaning they're unable, they're simply, it's impossible for them to do what's good in the flesh. But the believer whose life is according to the Spirit, so again, impossible for us in our own strength, but according to the Spirit, we can do what's good and right. You are one or you are the other. You are according to the flesh, enslaved under sin, enslaved under the law, condemned and unable to do what's good, or you're under the Spirit, you're according to the Spirit, you're alive in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden, because of His power, you're able to do what God has created you to do. Growing in that ability, growing in that life, joy, and fulfillment of what God has called us to. There's no in between. There's no third option. We see in Romans 7 and 8, it doesn't give a third option. It doesn't say, well, you kind of can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. No, it's you're either in the flesh, incapable of doing anything good, or you're in the Spirit, growing in your obedience to the Word of God. So look at verse 6. It hasn't been clear already. Look at verse 6. You're either dead or you're alive. Dead under sin, or alive in the Spirit. Without peace because of sin, or full of peace because of the Spirit. Those are the options. Those are the two things that we are. We're either under sin or we're under the Spirit. And so then you look at verse 7, another reminder of the difference between the unbeliever explained in the second half of Romans 7 and the believer explained here in chapter 8. Without the Spirit, one is dead. And if they're dead, what? They're unable to do what God's Word commands because they're spiritually dead. Their hearts are dead. They're not in relationship with Christ. But by the Spirit, we're alive. And in Him, we're able to please the Lord because the Spirit gives us life. And what happens when we receive the Holy Spirit? He begins to change us from the inside out. And all of a sudden, there's a desire and a willingness and a longing to do what's good and right. We don't just go, it's not a going through the motions. It's a growing sincerity in doing what God has called us to. And so again, look at verse 8. Here's the unbeliever, dead in sin, without the Holy Spirit. Unable to please God, completely incapable of walking with Him. And then on the contrary, verse 9, here is the believer. Notice the very clear difference here. It's not a both and thing, it's an either or thing, right? Are you in the flesh or are you in the Spirit? If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, then you do not belong to Him. And you say, well, that's pretty judgmental. I'm just literally reading what the verse says. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Him. That's what the Bible declares. And so verse 10, then yes, our physical bodies still die because of the curse of sin unless Jesus comes back first, right? And so we know the reality is there's a physical death that we all experience. Hebrews 9 talks about that. It is appointed to man, everyone to die once and then to face judgment. And so there's a physical death, and yet we are alive in the Spirit. We don't face spiritual death. There's a lasting, eternal life for those who are in Christ. We have victory over eternal death. And this is only possible, it's only true because of what Jesus accomplished for us. Remember, if we could fulfill the law perfectly like only Christ did, then we don't need a sacrifice. We just do everything perfectly what the Word of God says. But because none of us is perfect, under the law, we're then under sin. We're slaves to sin. We're under this, and that says you're condemned because you messed up. Then Christ came and He fulfilled it. He did it perfectly. And so then all of a sudden we're under Christ, and that means we're alive in the Spirit. We're declared righteous as if we fulfilled the law. Victory in Jesus. Look at verse 11. This victory in Jesus. Victory now with Spirit-filled life and victory forever with resurrection life. Right? The same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you if you have come to know Jesus. This is good news. Right? And He is your guarantee of resurrection life that will never end. New perfect bodies, life eternal. All of this will be realized when Christ returns. See, when you turn to Christ, He doesn't just take stuff out of the backpack. He takes the backpack. He takes the whole thing. He doesn't just lighten your load a little bit and you're like, hey, I'm starting to figure it out. I think, no, He takes the backpack. He takes the burdens, all your guilt, all your shame, all your burdens gone because of Christ. He takes it away. And yes, of course, we still have struggles. Please don't hear me wrong this morning. We have struggles. We're not perfect yet. We're still sinners. We have struggles. But we have His Spirit. So he takes the guilt and the shame away, and he gives us his promised Holy Spirit. And so we have life, and we have victory, and we have assurance. We have no condemnation, but instead we're freed from death, freed from the law because we're alive in the Spirit. Remember I said my purpose this morning is that you would believe and that you would experience and rejoice in freedom from death. You see, to believe and experience this freedom is to believe and experience the good news of the gospel. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you surrendered your all to him? He's the eternal Son of God who created all things. He's over all things. Nothing exists apart from him. He's the perfect Creator, and everything he's ever done is perfect. Everything he continues to do is perfect. But we know the reality is that we all sin. We all fall short of his perfect glory. Adam and Eve did so in the garden, so we see the story of that in Genesis 3. And then we've continued in this curse, right? We've continued failing to obey the law of God, bringing condemnation on ourselves. And so the reality is, because of us, hell is what we all deserve. Every one of us, without exception. We deserve to spend eternity in hell. And yet, the good news of Romans 8:1, no condemnation exists for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? He came to rescue us from sin and death and hell by dying on the cross in our place. He took our place and rising from the dead for our salvation. So remember, Jesus, not only did he take the backpack, he took the whole thing, but he took it to the cross. He took our burdens and he took our shame and he took our guilt and he went to the cross. He took our place. I was reading recently about a guy who was a stand-in actor for Tom Cruise in one of the Mission Impossible movies, and he said, it sounds glamorous, right, to be a stand-in. In other words, you just stand there in his place as they set up everything, they set the scene up. He said, but I don't think people realize how long this is, right? And so they're setting up the lights, and they're getting all the props just right, and he's supposed to stand there where Tom's going to enter the scene. And he said, it doesn't matter if it's pouring down rain, I'm standing there getting drenched in the rain. If it's really hot sun, I'm standing there, I'm getting burnt by the sun. He said, I could be there for hours and hours until they get it just right. And then Tom would just walk in to my spot from his air-conditioned caravan or his fancy sports car. He would just step right in my place. One of the other stand-ins said, I learned very quickly that there's a big difference between a stand-in and a star. But you know what? Jesus is our stand-in. He did all the humiliating, difficult work that you and I couldn't do so that we could be counted as righteous. So that when God looks at us who are in Christ, he sees perfection. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ did in our place. He was our stand-in. He took our place. He took our burdens. He took our shame. He took our guilt. And he took our place on the cross. He took them all to the cross. So now the good news of the gospel is if you simply repent, meaning to turn away from sin, if you repent of your sins and you believe in Jesus alone to forgive you, he'll give you a new life. He'll give you his Spirit. And then you're alive in the Spirit. And so you're freed from the law that sends you to eternal death and you are alive in Christ. And only then do you have the promise of eternal restoration with God and with all who know him. Do you believe? Like Scotty said earlier when we sang that song, do you believe? And if not, will you today? Will you turn to him? Have you experienced this salvation, the resulting freedom from death? And if you have, if you've experienced this, who knows about it? Who are you telling? Are you rejoicing in this freedom? When you came in here this morning, are you singing about this freedom we have in Christ? Are you in relationships that grow you in this freedom? Are you prioritizing relationships with others who will encourage you? Hey, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's celebrate this. Let's tell others about this. Let's live our lives for this. What next steps will you take if you are freed from death? What will you prioritize if you've experienced this freedom? Father, please help us today to see that in our own abilities and our own flesh, we are incapable of doing anything good. And yet, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, we experience life. We experience victory. We receive your Spirit, who then enables us to do the things you've called us to do, who grows us in the faith, who equips us and gives us a love for one another, a desire to serve, a desire to worship, a desire to tell others about you. Father, thank you for that. I want to plead with you this morning, God, that for those who are here who haven't yet experienced that victory, that freedom from death, that freedom from the law, that life in the Spirit, please give them a desire right now to call on your name, to turn from sin and trust in you alone, to save them, to make them right with you, to give them your Spirit, to give them life. Help us to rejoice in this truth and to walk alongside one another in this truth. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.